We were talking about Bill Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend and the weirdness on the CBS Sunday Morning Show. And then we started going down a rabbit hole with Haley Steinfeld, and she's married to, engaged to Josh Allen. I think engaged to Josh Allen, and now she's all over Michael B. Jordan in that movie.
Yep.
And I didn't tell you this off the air. So senior year of high school, I was dating a girl who played Juliet.
In Romeo and Juliet,
our Mount Lebanon Theater production of Romeo and Juliet. Which, by the way, you want to talk about a hard script to memorize.
Well, I can't,
my man Shakespeare.
Hard.
My man Shakespeare had no idea what the hell was coming out of his pen. I mean, seriously, dude. Doth this, doth that. Just say, "Hey, Juliet, baby, I love you." Way more complicated than that. Anyhow, I digress. So my girlfriend would have to make out with this guy named Ross every day at rehearsal.
They were letting
stage.
You guys make out in school?
We're actors, Thorn. Thespians.
I don't know about that.
Making out. You can't just
like
be
in class?
No, afterwards in the rehearsal.
But
it was on stage.
Like a school.
Oh, yeah. Making out.
See, y'all weird. I don't know about
you
that.
You know the role you sign up for. So I can, me and Josh Allen, we're the same.
Did she start liking them?
No, she didn't start liking Ross. But it actually helped me in my life with jealousy. After you see that.
You're good.
Over and over again, you ain't worried about much.
Yeah, I don't know about Josh Allen. Okay.
Michael B. Jordan's a sex symbol these days.
Yeah.
Big time sex
symbol. He can get whatever
symbol.
He wants if he wants it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Listen.
Steelers got their own Josh Allen in Will Howard,
mm-hmm.
whom we'll get to later on in the hour. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Art Rooney II was on Steelers radio, and he said that Rodgers does want to come here, end quote, and now paraphrasing, there could be official word of the quarterback's plans soon. Then Tomlin on the NFL Network was asked about it. He said, that's certainly a possibility. I'm not going to forecast the ifs and whens regarding not only him, but any other potential free agent. We've had really productive talks with him. I've enjoyed having productive talks with him and getting to know him. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You had the Jacina Anderson report from just after day one of the draft or overnight, saying that the Steelers wanted to talk with him and have a decision made 48 hours before the draft. I could see there having been a decision made. It just isn't public yet. But my read on the situation is that Aaron Rodgers will be the Steelers quarterback. I just don't know how you could feel comfortable with Mason Rudolph for 17 games. They can say that they are, and they can really like the guy, and they can like him as a backup quarterback, and they could like him for a 5-game stretch. And they could like him for a playoff game when your other options are Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky. That doesn't mean that they're going to feel comfortable with him for 17 games. It just doesn't.
Do you think that Aaron Rodgers had any type of dictatorship in signing with the Steelers? Like any type of, like, if this happens, I will sign. If this doesn't happen, I won't sign. And the Steelers would adhere to that?
I would hope not. I'm sure he wouldn't have wanted Shador Sanders there.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that he was like, listen, I'll sign for sure after the draft if you don't draft a quarterback in the first three rounds? And do you think that that could be a possibility?
I don't know. And I'll tell you why. I think that the national media has egg all over its collective face from this draft. There's just no way that report that came out, which said that the Steelers discussed Shador Sanders at 21 and that they were split between Sanders and Harmon. There's no way that could be true. Because if you're split at 21, you draft Shador Sanders at 83 or you draft him at 123. Like, there's just no way I buy that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so all this reporting around Shador and Rodgers, it feels like there's a ton of guesswork going on.
No, there always is.
Yes, and it's educated guesses, but a lot of it comes from the agents, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, pushing it out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never believe anything that anybody says. That's just me, because like I put myself in the shoes of if I was running an organization, if I was a head coach, GM, or owner, I would never tell anybody anything but anybody that's in the room. Like, I would say all kinds of false stuff. Everything that I would say would never be the truth. And, you know, sources, things of that nature. I know that, you know, Adam Schefter, he does a fantastic job, big fan of his. I know he has legit sources, but like I would never tell the truth. I would always try to lead you down a different path.
I'm guessing that that's what happened with that particular report. It was by way of making Shedeur Sanders look better. Yeah, the Steelers discussed him at 21.
Like, who's in the room? Like, whenever they're interviewing Shedeur, it's just Mike probably and Omar.
Mike, Omar, maybe Weidel, maybe Art. But that's
the tops.
It's not going to be more than those four guys.
Right. So who's going to, like, okay, come out and say, you know, something good or bad? Like, it's.
I'm starting to come around on your theory that you put out there a while ago. One of the theories that we discussed was that Mike Tomlin was talking up Shedeur Sanders because he has respect for Deion and a relationship with Deion.
Yes. Yes. He wanted him to get drafted as high as possible. Hey, we like him a lot. We had a great interview. We think that he has a lot of the great qualities to be an NFL quarterback, just not for us.
I'm also starting to come around, and now we're jumping all over the map, but there's so much. It's so tough to narrow down on one thing coming out of draft weekend, and I realized we were going to talk about Rodgers here. We got all the time in the world to do that. I think Andy Weidel has a ton of say.
Yeah.
A ton of say.
As he should. That's why you hired him.
Yes.
As he should.
Like, this looks like if when they hired him, and we talked about the trenches and the offensive line and the defensive line, guys with Eagles and Steelers DNA, and when we talked about hypothetical drafts and what they could look like with Andy Weidel, this is what pops out on the other side, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Two defensive linemen, a running back, an edge rusher who can set the edge.
Last year. What did they draft last year?
Multiple offensive linemen.
Three.
First-round offensive lineman, second-round offensive lineman, fourth-round offensive lineman.
The year before that.
Same thing. Broderick Jones. Yeah, I think he has more say than I have certainly given him credit for. Now, I know that he was involved in the Joey Porter Jr. pick. We talked about that last week, where Tomlin wanted to take Joey Porter Jr., and they said, we got into it. He'll be there at 32. He'll be there. And so they passed on him then. Got Broderick, and then got Joey Porter Jr. So I think Andy Weidel's got his fingerprints all over this. And I know Mike Tomlin has a lot of power. Maybe they see eye to eye on a lot of these guys. But Andy Weidel's definitely part of this decision-making process.
Yeah, I think that Omar takes a back seat to this as well. I think he takes a back seat. And obviously he checks all the boxes whenever they need checked and kind of agrees or disagrees. But I think that whenever it's the nitty-gritty of draft picks and how they want to form this roster as the future does move on, I think it's Mike Tomlin and Andy Weidel. And Omar's like, okay, or.
I bet you when they're talking about trading picks and all that stuff.
That's Omar.
Omar's talking exactly about value with pulling out charts.
Free agent stuff, signings, moving money around. I don't think that Omar is like the pure talent guy.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's got opinions on all these guys.
For sure, and they weigh those two.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it comes down to Andy and Mike.
Yeah, I'm starting to come around on that big time. 412-928-9370. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ton of people have just murdered me on social media the last couple of days, which is fine. This is fun. I throw out takes. You think they're bad, and you bash me for them. A lot of the people saying, no, the Steelers were never going to find a franchise quarterback in this draft. Okay. Then you got to be thrilled with the way the draft went then, right? If you're one of these people saying you didn't get a franchise quarterback because next year is the year, then shouldn't you want Aaron Rodgers to come in now, play this season, and then you take your quarterback next year? If it's all about next year is the franchise quarterback year, Rodgers comes in, he gives you a better shot to win than Mason Rudolph. Why would anybody now be against seeing Aaron Rodgers come in?
No, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be.
I've come full circle on it. Like, it's either, all right, obviously, no franchise guy. Okay, you wait for next year. In the interim, in the meantime, I don't want it to be Mason Rudolph or, oh my God, Kirk Cousins.
No.
The only way I'd want it to be Mason is if the other option is Kirk Cousins.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you have the money, and it's not going to be
right.
It's not going to be through the roof. I mean, at least according to Aaron Rodgers, you're still going to be able to pay TJ. It's going to be a 1-year deal. So you figure it out. Like, play this year, see how it looks with the stopgap for the last time, and then go full fledged into drafting a guy next year and having Will Howard as a backup.
Will Howard intrigues me. I just don't know that he gets on the field unless there's injuries.
That's probably exactly how it's going to go.
And if he winds up being Mason, he winds up being Mason. That's good. It's great value. Fourth round grade, sixth round quarterback, size.
I do wonder what the competition would be like. Like, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign, like, is Mike Tomlin going to come out and say that Mason Rudolph is in pole position? I don't think that that would be the language that Mike Tomlin would say. I think that there would actually be a legit, somewhat of a legit competition between Mason and Will Howard.
I think it would be one of those quote-unquote competitions right. where Mason's going to win by default.
Right.
But I'd like it to be a competition. I'd like to see Howard, again, if this is a good conversation, if Rodgers isn't coming, then yeah, give Howard a shot. Give him a shot. You know what you have in Mason, and it's fine. He doesn't need to cry about his career to anybody. He's had a nice NFL career. He said it after the Cincinnati game that he won a couple of years ago now, that he was going to be, you know, selling stocks or whatever. That shows you just how much I know about finances. He was thinking his career might be over in the NFL. And then he goes to the Titans, gets paid, gets a chance, comes back to Pittsburgh. He's had a nice career. But I know what he is. And if there's no Rodgers, yeah, I let the guys compete.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Now, to get into a theory that you always say, now, if Will Howard does end up playing, do you think that they could psych themselves out by not drafting a quarterback next year by Will Howard just doing decent this year and being the guy? That's what you worry about. You've said that multiple times.
As a sixth round pick, because clearly they've got their eye on next year, I don't think they would allow themselves right. to get fooled. But I'd want to see it.
Like, what if you won a playoff game?
I mean, okay.
I know we're getting crazy.
No, but like, let's say, all right, we're discussing all possibilities. Say Mason Rudolph, two games in, gets hurt. And you turn it over to Will Howard, and he plays like Bo Nix did last year. A different question would be, are you actually getting fooled, or is he just good?
Right.
It's complicated.
Right. I still draft. If he has the same year as Bo Nix, I still draft next year. And then roll the ball out.
Well, now all kind of options are on the table, because right. you could probably trade Will Howard for something good. Or he hangs around, and you have a really good backup quarterback. Or if he's that good,
just wins.
Maybe a trade, a pick next year, and address another position in need. All the options are on the table. But yeah, if Rodgers doesn't come here, give Will Howard an opportunity to at least give him a bunch of first team reps and just see what it looks like.
Yep.
I don't see there being harm in that. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll do some of our draft superlatives coming up next. But if you want to weigh in on Rodgers, on Rudolph, on Howard, we'd love to take your calls. 412-928-9370. It is 8:15. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums. 724-443-5610. Draft superlatives coming your way. There's also this big-time internet debate going on right now. Can 100 unarmed humans defeat one gorilla?
I've seen that.
I mean, yeah, right?
No.
And here we go.
Are you kidding me?
It's 100.
100 human males.
Yeah.
And have you ever seen a gorilla fight another gorilla?
Yeah, it's vicious, man.
There's no way. How you have no weapons, right? It's just you.
Correct.
He would pick me up and swing me around and knock everybody's heads off with my body.
No, this is how it goes. You take a bunch of people that look like me to go in at first, and he just kills us one by one. But while he's distracted, then everyone who looks like you and like
can
Pat Bostick, like 6'4".
Punch him in his head?
Yeah, because there's 100 of us. You send 25 gremlins like me in there, and he's picking us off one by one, and we're sacrificing ourselves for the fate of humanity in this exercise, then you guys come in and you beat the snot out of them.
No.
It's one gorilla.
Yeah. Look up how strong they are and how much they could like bench press if they were to bench. It is insane how strong that they are. Superhuman.
We'll get to your
not even human.
Draft superlatives here. Oh, in a moment. They can lift and throw up to 1,800 pounds.
What? Yep.
Oh, my God. What if it's like Josh Allen and Aaron Donald?
No.
And the best we got?
No.
And Cam Newton?
No.
I'm just thinking of strong people. No. Cam Hayward.
Mike Tyson? No.
Come on. Tyson could knock it out in one punch.
Are you kidding me?
If it catches it from behind, Dickerson.
Do you know how big their heads are?
Well, I'm going to figure that out.
There's no way. No chance. No chance. They are insanely strong and mean. They would rip everybody's limbs off. One gorilla would rip everybody's limbs off. Snap everybody in half. And won't get tired. We would get tired.
100 of us. We got our best guys.
No.
100 of our best guys against one of their best guys. I'll take the 100. 100 to 1. What kind of odds do you think we'd get? Probably no good. Their heads are, oh man, Dory, they are 1,325 cubic centimeters. We all know what that means. Why would Google spout centimeters at me? It's freaking America. I'm getting centimeters over here.
Type in centimeters.
A male Western lowland gorilla skull measures approximately 29.7 centimeters, 11.7 inches in length. That's a big gourd. 6.5 inches in width.
And these, you know how much they weigh?
All right, last one. How much does a gorilla weigh?
Mm-hmm.
Google already knew where I was going. They can lift 4,000 pounds.
Yes.
It's 1,800 kilograms. Again, Google, we're in the United States of America. Why are you giving me kilograms? 4,000 pounds?
How much do they weigh?
I'm on it. I'm working.
I think you're taping it in.
All right. 600 pounds. That's not that big. Get that kid from Florida to come in.
Yeah, and he's, what?
465.
200-some pounds less.
If we lead with him, I think we got a shot. You throw a 646-pound defensive tackle, dig up wherever McCullers is these days, get him in there, and we'll take this gorilla's ass out.
Nope. Done.
There's 125,000 gorillas among the four subspecies on Earth. By this math, if those gorillas wanted to, they could take over the world.
Yes.
They could make it a movie or a book, or they call it Planet of the Apes. We just came up with that. TM, that's our idea. All right, which Steelers draft pick do you think is going to play the most this year?
Well, outside of Harmon, let's say. I think Harmon will. I mean, clearly, I think, right?
It would be Harmon or Johnson who would play more. And I think that might be tight. Because I don't see Derek Harmon beating out Keanu Benton or obviously Cam Hayward. And it sounds like they don't right now think that Y.A. Black is going to be their nose, that he could play multiple positions. So Benton will be the nose. I guess if he's the nose, then you'd have to have Derek Harmon on the field.
Yeah.
They're
going to rotate. And I think that the rotating reps will be split with Cam Hayward maybe having the most.
Thank you for saving me from defensive line math.
Yeah. They're going to rotate. And I think Harmon will probably play the most out of any draft pick. I think that Jaylen Warren will get the bulk of the carries until something happens, whether it's a hamstring or a fumble.
So that's what I was going to say. If my man, Caleb Johnson, who I already have going to multiple Pro Bowls now, Doran, if he has a great camp, he's secure with the football, he's showing some of that breakaway speed that his 40 does not reflect, but his tape reflects, and Jaylen Warren puts a ball on the ground. We talked about it last week. I don't remember if it was on the draft show, if it was on our morning show, if it was on both. Jaylen Warren, he's no stranger to the doghouse.
Uh-uh.
I mean, Mike Tomlin gave him more and more playing time, and I'm a big Jaylen Warren fan. This is a pro Jaylen Warren show. You put the ball on the ground, Caleb Johnson's going to get his opportunity, and all it takes is for him to get that opportunity. If he plays well, he might be the guy.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to those two dudes. Not that this is, we need to be debating it. You want Caleb Johnson to play.
Yeah.
You obviously want Derek Harmon to play. I think it's going to be fairly neck and neck. I do think both are going to be good players. All right, who's going to have the biggest impact? Because that's different to me.
Hmm.
Oh my God, a gorilla can pick up an average sized car and throw it at you.
Exactly.
But there's not gonna be cars around, because guess what? Hey, giant gorilla. If there's cars around, you can't drive, dummy. I can. I'll run your ass over. Throw the car at me. Nope, I'll be in the car.
So how many humans would add up to a car where he could pick up all the humans and throw them?
I mean, how many can he really throw at once? Two? Probably
five.
We got to go in wearing, like, spandex.
I am not going anywhere.
It's you and me, buddy.
No.
We'll go in there with spandex, just nothing for him to latch on to.
Listen, I can't believe that you initially said that that was going to be a good, like, you thought that the humans would win.
People are now saying that you will literally break your hands and arms and everything just punching a gorilla.
Yes.
Because they're basically made out of steel.
Right.
Texter, come on, Crowley, educate yourself on the natural world. 4,000 pounds, that's pretty.
It's a lot.
Look, they're stronger than I thought, all right?
And, like, I feel like
we can outsmart it, though!
I feel like people are underestimating the fact that their feet are hands, basically. They could grab with their feet, and they could bite. Like, they will bite you and tear you up, biting you.
That might be a move. I could bite its ear off. Someone, like you throw me onto his shoulders, I bite its ear off, it's all pissed. I sacrifice myself for the good of the exercise, and we're good.
Yeah, it's really going to affect them.
I mean, you get your ear bit off.
It's not Holyfield.
I don't care what species you are. You get your ear bit off.
You're tripping.
You're going to be hurting.
What is the question that you asked me?
Who's going to make the biggest impact?
Ugh.
I'll tell you. You know what comes to my mind, honestly? And I'm not saying that Jack Sawyer is going to make the biggest impact. But he'll play a lot of special teams.
Yep.
And Nick Herbig, he made maybe the play of the Steelers season 2 years ago in Seattle. He's in just to rush the passer, comes off the edge, forces a fumble from Geno Smith. One of the key moments in getting the Steelers to the playoffs that year.
I think he'll make the biggest impact because he's going to be able to allow the top dogs to get a break and the production won't slip as much. So that's the impact he'll make. Not necessarily like getting in there and getting sacks and getting pressures, but he'll allow the production to not slip whenever TJ Watt or Alex Highsmith is out of the game.
And you don't have to pay for it like you did last year when you got the guy from Green Bay.
Yep.
You don't have to pay for it. That was classic best player available. And I don't think it at all is a position of need, but Dane Brugler had him 58th on his big board. He went 123rd. You can't pass up on a guy like that. Or is it more? Might this say something about the contract negotiation with TJ Watt? We'll get to that coming up next. And a man who is 6'5", 337 pounds, and he says he wants to be on our guerrilla fighting team, Doran. Someone texted in. 6'5", 337. All right. Someone also says, you ever seen a hairless gorilla? He's jacked. I'm going to look that up coming up next.
Yeah, look that up.
I'm going to look that up. Uh-huh. People also saying we need to be using ChatGPT instead of Google. So we'll also look into that.
For me, I just try to play the game as physical and as tough as I possibly can. And, setting an edge and playing the run is all about manhood on manhood. And for me, you know, that's kind of who I am as a guy, as a man. And, I love the story defenses we've had and throughout Pittsburgh and the toughness they play with. And, you know, I can't wait to bring a part of that.
Oh my God. Everyone's going to love Jack Sawyer.
Yep.
Going to love Jack Sawyer.
Got a great name too. I like that name.
It's a strapping man name. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Jack Sawyer is a football name.
Yep.
TJ Watt, football name.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Sawyer, football name. Bet you the guy hammers up his own drywall.
Yes.
Drinks beer straight from the can.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him being one of those dudes who goes out to fish and doesn't even roll the jeans up, stands out there in bare feet.
Yes.
Trying to get a bass or something like that. Uh-huh. Just a man's man, Jack Sawyer.
Yep.
He's
a chew-in.
Absolutely a chew-in,
uh-huh.
Which is bad for you, Jack. I could see him doing one of those, what do they call it, where you put it all around the bottom and the top?
Forget.
Some sort of ring?
Yeah.
Ring of glory?
Yep.
I don't think that's it. Does this mean anything about TJ Watt, or is that just a reach of a storyline here?
I think it's probably a reach, but, I mean, we have to talk about it because it could be a possibility, maybe a 2% possibility that he's an insurance policy.
It's funny you say 2% because that's how many fingers TJ Watt was throwing up.
Two.
Yeah. In that Instagram post.
Mm-hmm.
He put the deuces up, Doran.
So, I don't think that it's TJ Watt's insurance policy, but if you got to go into camp and you want to get a good look for some depth and TJ Watt does have a hold in or holds out or whatever, then that guy's going to get a lot of reps. So then you know that your depth is going to be pretty good.
I imagine that is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're getting this thing done with TJ anytime soon. And I know that you would like to because the Parsons thing's going on. And who knows when Jerry Jones could decide to just give that guy a mountain of money and then reset the market again, which I do expect him to do. But the way the Steelers operate here is, at the earliest, I would guess, it happens at the beginning of training camp.
Yeah.
And if not, then it'll happen, you know, right before the start of the season. So Jack Sawyer's going to get an opportunity. He's going to play a ton in preseason. He's going to play a ton on special teams. And a texter makes a really good point here. It's something that we've kind of gotten into. Regardless of what people want to say about the draft, the Steelers played it perfectly. Didn't reach for anybody. Didn't give up any picks or assets to get anyone. Address major holes with immediate contributors. And let's not forget Will Howard has elite-sized national championship and is quietly very athletic. I do want to push back on the quietly very athletic part. No, he's white. I know what you're doing there. No, he's pretty clearly athletic. He is. I mean, he's pretty clearly athletic. Go watch his Kansas State tape. He'll run your ass over.
Mm-hmm.
He can scoot a little bit, Will Howard. I like the player in the sixth round. They didn't reach for anybody.
No, they really didn't. Mm-mm.
Harmon was a projected first-round guy. Caleb Johnson was always going to be in that third-round range. That's the word I was looking for. Darn range. I got gorilla fighting on my mind. So he was always going to be in that range. Jack Sawyer was a guy that, you know, 3 months ago was potentially a first-round kind of dude. Will Howard, a projected fourth-round guy. Y.A. Black was always going to be in that range, and he's a position of need. And I had talked a ton about getting a nose tackle type in the mid-rounds. They didn't reach on anybody. Not a single guy. And okay, if Dante Kent doesn't work out, who cares? Like, I mean, I'm sure he does. Carson Bruner. Maybe a reach because of nepotism, but then you watch what he did. He racked up over 100 tackles, and he's not going to factor in as a starter for them.
Uh-uh.
They got that on lock. But as a special teams player, he's going to hang around in the league for a while, and he'll probably hang around here for a while. There's not a guy that you go, oh, man, if he blows it, unless it's one of the first two picks, Derek Harmon or Caleb Johnson, where you go, oh, this draft class sucks. They hit on a bunch of needs. Yeah, I give it a solid B.
Yeah, I give them a lot of credit, as I said earlier, by not trading future assets to get back in the second round, too, as I thought that they should do at one point before the draft. I was like, they got to figure out a way to get back in the second so they can address more of these needs, but they figured out a way to not have to mortgage some of the future to get into the present of getting guys, and they did it the right way.
And if you think about it like this, man, Derek Harmon in the first round, Dez Bryant in the second round, then Caleb Johnson, Jack Sawyer, Y.A.
Bryant. You just said Dez Bryant. Are you kidding me? Dez Bryant in the second round.
DK Metcalf.
Dez Bryant. Why Dez Bryant?
Of all people, I don't know. Southside Jake texted us and said, when you put all the chew on the bottom and around the top, it's called the Ring of Fire.
That's right. Mm. Dez Bryant.
Is that an all-timer?
That's up there. That is up there. You just kept going until you...
I had no idea.
Were you watching Dez Bryant's clips or something?
I have zero explanation for it. Zero explanation. I'm way worse than Ron Cook was at the names. Because I'll mispronounce people's names, but then I'll just call people the wrong stuff. Just all the time. Can you believe... Never mind. I'm just going to dig myself a hole. All right, coming up next, which of these draft picks do we think will make the biggest impact this year? We've already talked about who we think is going to play the most. Who's going to be the biggest impact player coming out of this draft? Mark Caboli will join us from 9 o'clock until 10 to bring us back down to earth. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Mark Caboli going to join us from 9 o'clock until 10, talking all things Steelers draft. Dane Brugler, really good draft guy for The Athletic. Ranked the Steelers draft fourth. Gave them the fourth best grade, Doran.
Huh.
His favorite pick was Derek Harmon. Day three pick who could surprise was Jack Sawyer, edge from Ohio State, who we were talking about. Real man's man.
Yep.
You follow Ken Carmen on Twitter, right?
Of course.
From our brother station in Cleveland. He hosts the morning show out there. He's wildly popular. He's a very nice man. He has had this running bit for a long time. AFC North quarterbacks, they don't wear sleeves when it's negative 32 degrees. Crap like that. Like, AFC North quarterbacks got to be real men's men, right?
Tough.
Tough. Wonder how Shador Sanders fits into all that.
Played in Colorado.
Yeah.
Cold.
Yeah, it's cold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did you see Dylan Gabriel's interview? What was it, before the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel says he likes playing outside on real grass. Just kidding. No, he wants to play indoors all the time.
Yeah.
That is not an AFC North quarterback.
No.
You want to talk about a reach?
I know.
Dylan friggin' Gabriel. And so that's why it's not just about the tape. When people say, oh, and we got a lot of texts to this effect today, Doran. It's just the tape for Shador. He was a fifth-round quarterback. No, he wasn't.
No.
He's a better quarterback than Dylan Gabriel. There's no question about that. So it's about the tape not being great, sure, but also the off-the-field stuff and the interview process. But Dane Brugler giving the Steelers fourth, this would be the third consecutive draft then where the returns after the draft, the grading after the draft, views the Steelers very favorably compared to the rest of the league. They got an A- 2 years ago from Mel Kiper. They got an A by a bunch of people last year.
Right.
This year it's a B. Last year, you just don't know. Peyton Wilson looked good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know about Roman Wilson. You don't know about Troy Faltano.
Right. So you're basically getting two rookies this year, too. So
you
add
are.
Add those in. So you have two first-round picks, and you have two third-round picks this year.
That's kind of where I want to start with Mark, too, when we talk to him. This year's roster right now compared to last year's roster. Are they better? It's tough to argue without a quarterback, but let's say quarterback aside.
Yeah.
You don't have a quarterback. It makes it tough.
Yeah, but that receiver you got, I think.
Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant. Thank you for our texters for getting the show. Just absolutely eviscerating me. Crowley, did you hit the reefer before work today?
Mm.
That'd be a good explanation for it. I'm glad we got Jerry Rice in the second round, somebody writes. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. I happen to think that Caleb Johnson will be the biggest impact rookie that they have this year.
Uh-huh.
I think he's going to score 10 touchdowns, Doran.
10?
10. Because at the very...
He's a touchdown machine, though.
I was going to say, and I think at the even if Jaylen Warren is the guy to start, and he might be the guy who gets the starts, and maybe he's getting... I don't know, even 60% of the snaps, I could see Caleb Johnson being the short yardage guy and the goal line guy. And he's a tall glass of water,
mm-hmm.
tough to bring down.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see him scoring a bunch of touchdowns. And whereas a rotational defensive lineman, he might get some pressures, Derek Harmon, few sacks. But if you're going to score 8, 9, 10 touchdowns, you're going to be the one that flashes.
Yeah.
So that'd be my pick. All right. You can't get the Dez Bryant thing out of your head.
I really can't. Like, it's. I mean, I just don't know. It's not that you said it. It's that you just kept rolling. Like, you didn't second guess yourself or pause. Like, you were just like, oh, yeah, Caleb Johnson.
I'll give you credit, man. I think you got the toughest job in Pittsburgh radio. I say a lot of things, and half the time it comes out of my mouth, and I just keep rolling, and you listen, and you fact check me.
Sometimes I just let you go.
Sometimes you'll let me go when you know I'm going to get myself into more trouble.
Right.
And you figure if you wind up diving in on it, then I'm going to hurt myself yeah, even more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're a good teammate that way.
That one I had to hold up.
I have no idea where it came from.
I would love to know.
Steelers second round pick, Dez Bryant. Jeez, oh
it's
man.
Not like Dez Bryant was a second round pick. And not. I mean, like, he was a first round pick to the Dallas Cowboys in 2010.
What number is
DK? 4.
Yeah, that
Dez Bryant was 88.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
There's nothing there.
There's zero.
Mm-mm.